Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. It's Tuesday, or Wednesday when you're listening to this, and we're doing this because, well, it's E3. Nintendo has had their press conference, and so has Sony and Microsoft and all the others, and we got a lot to talk about, and we got a big debate ahead of us, so let's get it started with, what have you been, I'm kidding, I'm just kidding, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, we're going to start it off, no intro music, no nothing, we're just... It's E3, and so let's just get right into it. Gentlemen, what did you think of the Microsoft press conference? Kidding, entirely. what did you think about Nintendo's press conference? Just go loose to start. Give me overall impressions, and then your final grade.
By the way, we're all here.
Yeah.
I'm so out of whack.
I am the forgetful Triforce Todd. Clearly not using the Triforce of Wisdom today. If only there was a Triforce of Memory. Maybe that's the fourth triangle? I'm just kidding. joining me today is Warrior Will.
I just said, hallelujah, Daddy Sakurai.
And Atelier's Tyler.
I really just needed to get the intro in so that Will could have another introduction moment.
Nah, thankfully he kept it short today because we got a lot to talk about.
I was thinking about maybe putting a musical bit here, but yeah.
No, nothing could top last week's. I mean, seriously, if you didn't listen to last week's episode intro, you need to do that because it was really good. So, all right, Will, I want to start with you because you had some very strong opinions on this, and apparently you've changed them since then. So, again, loosely, what did you think about the presentation overall? And give me your grade for Nintendo's press conference.
Overall, this press conference, I feel, is definitely like more or less the highlight of the bunch, honestly. Like, given comparison to like Microsoft or even like Ubisoft, I gotta say, I really love Nintendo's press conference. Granted, I mean, yeah, now that the hype has died down, in hindsight, there could have been some things that could have been done better, and especially like there's kind of a bit of an imbalance in presentation. But for me, I just feel like that's really all they needed. Granted, maybe it's imbalance, but I feel like that's really what they were going for. Simple, short, but effective. So for me, my first grade was basically giving an A, but now I can probably say probably a good solid B plus. So in that ballpark range, yeah.
Fair
That's
enough.
Funny because last year me and Todd were like three A's and Will was like B minus, and then you increased it. But this year I think Todd and I are a little lower. Now let me just say I loved it. I think Nintendo won E3. on the back of Smash Bros. Alone. And I think that because the other two companies were kind of bad, Sony had great games, but a really weird presentation.
Yeah.
And Microsoft had a lot of third-party games that you could also get on your PlayStation. So very, very strange from them. Nintendo had Smash, which was phenomenal. Now, there was a lot of games that were missing. But they had Smash. They had Fire Emblem. That was enough. I mean, I think that... I preached this last year, and I really didn't do it enough again this year, that it's not about winning E3 isn't about bashing the other person, the other competitors in. It's about achieving your goal the best. And Nintendo did that. I mean, there's a ridiculous amount of hype surrounding Switch and surrounding Smash, and it's going to continue. Whereas I felt like the other two companies really they really didn't generate. I think Microsoft did a better job of generating buzz than Sony did.
Yes, yes.
But Sony
yes.
had better games. So anyways, back to Nintendo. I think that Nintendo did the best job this year.
I agree with that.
So what's your grade?
My total grade is a B+. I agree with Will.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe what I'm about to say.
here we go.
So Nintendo was by far the ultimate failure. I'm kidding. What's wrong with you people? All right, here's the thing. This is my most controversial statement of the night. I'm just going to get it right.
Here we go.
No one won E3. I want you to comprehend that for a second. No one won E3. Not Microsoft, not Sony, not Nintendo. Here's why. Microsoft went games to the wall. Bunches of games. But as Tyler noted, many of them were third party. Many of them you can get on Sony's platforms. And most importantly, few of them were exclusives. And then the ones that were exclusive, like Forza, which is like Microsoft's love affair, Halo, which hasn't been as good since 3, and then 3 Gears of War games? Really? 3? Okay, so that showed desperation. Sony, on the other hand, has fewer games, but no real surprises. Okay, the Resident Evil remake, sure. I mean, who doesn't love Leon S. Kennedy? Okay. By the way, go watch the death battle between him and Frank West. Very good. You know, so there was that. But then they did like 11 minutes on Last of Us Part 2, which, again, that's great. But I mean, you know, we all know it's going to be magnificent. Then Spider-Man was like another 11 minutes. Hey, Sinister 6 or 5. Hey, good job. But do you really need that long? Where was the surprises? Where was the big reveals? Where was what's that one game, Will? Oh, yeah, Final Fantasy 7 Remake. I'm just saying. And then there was Nintendo. Nintendo was poised to win it. We had Smash Brothers. We potentially had Fire Emblem. We might have had Metroid and the Star Fox rumors. Not the the what was it called? Will Arc Link Link Battle thing?
Starlink.
Thank
Starlink.
You.
Starlink was thank so cool though.
That was cool. cool. I will not deny that was cool. And you know that was and the Star Fox stuff is exclusive to the Switch, obviously. So that's great stuff. But still. Like, you know, there's that Star Fox Grand Prix rumor, you know, will we get at least a glimpse of the Pokemon Core title? And we didn't get any of that. Okay, we got Fire Emblem in 2019. We got, you know, Metroid in Smash Brothers, and we got Ridley in Smash Brothers, which, you know, should be an A+ in and of itself. But being objective, it's not. Because as much as I loved, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I love that Smash Brothers breakdown, 25 minutes showing every character ever, most of the changes, I'm pretty sure not all the changes, because they said themselves are still balancing things, but, you know, loads of changes, different Smash moves, faster Smash, final Smashes, you know, new core moves, you know, the Epsilon characters, Tyler got Daisy somehow, how did that happen? I lost
it. Because I spoke it into existence.
Yes, you did. You really, really did. And seriously, like, listen, a few podcasts back, he said he wanted Daisy in Smash Bros. And he got her. So, wow. But the problem was that as much as, you know, Smash Bros. Was, pun intended, the ultimate thrill ride for E3, it doesn't make me confident for the rest of the year. Here's why. Remember last year's E3, and we've talked about this before, but I gotta say it again. By the time E3... 2017 ended, we knew pretty much the entire layout of the rest of 2017. We knew about Mario in October. We knew about Xenoblade coming holiday, which eventually turned out to be December. We knew about Fire Emblem Warriors, which came out in October as well. We knew about Splatoon. We knew about Rabbids, which was, again, the highlight of E3 that year, outside of Odyssey. You know, Pokken, everything. We knew the layout here. And this year, while we know the layout, it's not anywhere near as entertaining. Okay, we talked about Pokemon Let's Go. It's not exactly our Pokemon game, and it'll sell well, sure. Smash Brothers is December 7th, which I'll get to in a second. But what's really in between that? We got Octopath, sure, which we're all pumped for. We got Captain Toad coming out the same day.
You're forgetting one. You're forgetting a huge game that's coming out on June 22nd. I know it's not huge for you, but it's huge for me and Will and for many others.
Yeah.
Mario Tennis Aces.
I'm getting to that. I was getting to
you
that.
You started
okay.
in July, so...
Never mind. Anyway, but yeah, but we already knew about Aces. And in fact, we did the demo, and you know, that's great. But I mean, Aces will not carry for the rest of the year. Okay, it's not anywhere close to Smash or anything like that.
It's pretty good though.
I'm not saying it's not, but I mean, we're talking about longevity and the holding off. ARMS was great, but it would not have carried the rest of the year, and we were glad that Splatoon and Rabbids and Pokken and Warriors and Odyssey and then, you know, Skyrim and the, you know, all the Bethesda games and then Xenoblade. We don't have that here. And on some level, I feel cheated. Because...
That's a bold claim.
Hear me out. The reason I say that is think about what we've gotten this year alone, okay? January, nothing. Really. Nothing significant. February was the Bayonetta ports, which is great, but, you know, if you ever played Bayonetta, it wasn't necessary. March, we got Kirby. Million seller. Great job. April was the beginning of the ports. May got more ports, but then we lost one of the biggest ones in Dark Souls. And then in a few weeks, we got Aces. July, we got Octopath Traveler and Captain Toad. August, what's in August? Isn't Okami in August?
Yeah, so Kami's in August, and Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate.
Okay, that's there
Right,
you
right,
go.
right, right, right.
And then let's see. Okay, September.
Dark Souls. Oh, wait, that's summer. That's just summer still.
Potentially. Let's just put Dark Souls there just potentially, okay? And then maybe World Ends With You, okay?
Right, right,
Because
right.
that was said fall. Okay, October, Super Mario Party,
Mega Man.
Mega Man, okay? And then November, Pokemon. December, Smash Brothers. See the difference between last year and this year? This year, it's third party overload, whereas last year it was first party overload with third party sprinkled in between. It's a nice twist.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but if we're saying, hey, we should praise the Switch because of the third party titles, why are we dissing Microsoft? It
No,
broadly.
I think it's very different. It's
But
very different.
is it? But ask yourself,
Yes,
is
it
it
is.
because why are we happy for Okami, or why are we happy for The World Ends With You? Okay, I'm gonna leave that one out because I'm a fanboy. I'm a fanboy of that one. I can't say that. I can't. Okay, Monster Hunter Generations is a port of a 3DS game, and then Captain Toad Treasure Tracker is a port of the Wii U game, and then all these other third party titles with the exception of like Octopath Travel, Crash Bandicoot's already been out. If Spyro comes out this year for the Switch, that's multi-platform too, and all these other third-party games, as good as it is to have them on a system, doesn't really matter. And then for the first-party games, we don't have as much. And then the game we were all hoping to get this year to balance out Smash Brothers, not Pokemon, Smash Brothers, is delayed till spring 2019.
Not spring. Smash Brothers
Not.
is coming out
I
December.
said the one to balance out
Oh,
Smash Brothers, Fire
sorry.
Emblem. Fire
Okay,
Emblem is spring 2019.
gotcha.
And then, ironically, after the press conference, after all of this, we hear that Yoshi is still in development. Where was Yoshi? Oh, it's still in development. We're just gonna have more updates in later 2018, which seems
It's
to
coming out
indicate
2019.
2019
It, that
exactly.
that was confirmed that Yoshi's 2019.
Yeah, and then Metroid, which I grant you, Metroid I give a pass because they said that when they want to show Metroid Prime, they're gonna show Metroid Prime, which I said earlier in our road to E3 that it's 2019. As with the core title, so you see I'm 2 for 2 on that one, Tyler. Nice try though. No, Todd, I swear, Todd, it's gonna come out this year. It's
Listen,
gonna come out.
we agreed that we were both correct about Pokemon because
No,
I
that's
said
true.
Pokemon was coming, and
You
it
did.
is. It's
You
just
did.
not the Pokemon that we wanted,
Yeah,
but it's
exactly.
coming.
But it's just at the end of the day, as good as it was for Smash Brothers, and then like I think that Mario Party could be the bounce back that this franchise
Yes.
desperately needs potentially. Again, we don't have it in our hands yet, but the look of it seemed fair. But then there was just all these, and then of course we got Fortnite out today. Go and play it. Overcooked, two. Okay, fine.
Hollow
Hollow
Knight.
Knight, Killer Queen Black, and then whatever the heck Daemon X Machina was.
That was the weirdest way to open up a show. I was very
Exactly.
scared when that happened. I was really scared.
I mean, I was like, what is this? And now, don't get me wrong, apparently this is made by some of the legends of the industry, including some Armored Core guys, even some Fire Emblem developers are on this. But it's just, you start with that and then give nothing on it. It's like, do you remember when a Xenoblade Chronicles X was teased? They dropped the trailer and then talked nothing about it. It's the same thing here, except we know it's not a Xenoblade Chronicles game. So what exactly is this? And it's just, they started out weird. Then they did like the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 DLC,
DLC,
which I was grateful for. Will, I hope you were grateful for that too. But, and then, it just started going on. We're like, okay, waiting for the pickup. Then Super Mario Party, okay. Fire Emblem Three Houses, yes. Spring 2009, no. And then, hey, let's talk about the indie games. Okay. Hey, Octopath Traveler, don't forget, it's coming out July 19th. Oh, we got another demo arriving in 2 days. Okay. Okay. Oh, hey kids, Fire Dragon Ball Fighters is coming. Yes! No announcement, no release date. Why? And on and on and on. It's just like they were building something and then they went 25 minutes of Smash Brothers, which was great, but as much as I love Smash Brothers, that can't counter everything else. My grade for all three companies is a B. And I'm not even counting like Square Enix and Ubisoft because that I can't count them. But no one won E3 because each one of them had something special, yet nothing special at all. Xbox said, "Hey, we got Halo, three years
Yeah,
more
Halo is
title."
like like in a distant future too for
I know,
Xbox.
but but it's just I saw someone say, they're playing for the future, and that's great. But they're, that's the problem. they're playing for the future, but you know, you can't deny, you know, if you're a fan, you can't deny the excitement of that. And then they announced all the other games, like Devil May Cry 5, which doesn't even look like Devil May Cry anymore. Let's just be honest with this, with each other. Then Sony, they're focused on, you know, the four main titles, Kingdom Hearts and Last of Us and Ghost of Tsushima, which I know, Tyler, you were said looked pretty cool.
Yes, they did look pretty cool.
Yeah,
I really liked Sony's games. Sony had a really – their show was dumb. Yep. I mean, the way they structured that was – like, how could they have thought that was a good idea?
Because they're Sony, but and then like, you know, I loved the Spider-Man gameplay because I mean that feels like Batman on the Batman Arkham.
It's literally Arkham.
It's
I am actually
Arkham.
Not
well,
as into
we
that
know,
as I
but,
used
but,
to
but okay, like it is Arkham, but yet it's not because it's Spider-Man, and that's a different feeling, like with the web slinging and everything.
Right, so it's
different. It's just like Batman and Spider-Man aren't the same character. It's that kind of thing. But you know, seeing that, and then I've been hearing so much buzz for The Last of Us Part Two and blah 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 blah, but. You know, there was no, hey, what's next? You know, there was like that Control game, but that didn't really grab anybody. And then Resident Evil 2, that's great, but that's a remake. And then for Nintendo, we had Smash Brothers, we got Ridley and Daisy. But mainly Ridley.
Hey, we got Daisy.
No. Ridley for life. Or maybe Daisy Ridley.
That was very funny.
That was
hilarious.
That was hilarious. But I mean, like, again, they each had that one moment. Or, you know, that one game that really helped make them shine. But overall, they're all kind of meh. And I'm sorry if that makes anybody mad, but it's just, I had a great weekend, okay? I was at a great convention, had a great time. Monday, relaxed, got work done so I could be ready for today. And then I left, you know, the Nintendo press conference, you know, and I was like, Smash Brothers is awesome.
I knew you weren't going to like it. Not like it, but I knew you were going to be disappointed, Todd, after it ended. I was like, Todd's not going to love
this.
I think I'll let Will jump in, but one little point before Will starts. You know, you always say on the podcast, in fairness to whatever company, I think that in fairness to Nintendo, you have to look at last year's schedule. I mean, they had a major first-party game every month.
They did.
You can't – you just – they don't have the studios or the manpower to do that every year.
And I acknowledge it. And that was going to be one of my points I brought up later in that, you know, that's why I'm not giving them a lower score because I could have easily given them a C. But then that's not fair because as I noted, and I think like a couple months ago when like we did the whole Nintendo draft, it's illogical for us to think that they could replicate what happened last year.
Right.
And with Zelda and Mario Rabbids, which again surprised the world, and Splatoon and ARMS and everything. But that doesn't mean that they can do what they're kind of doing this year. I mean, and let's be honest here. We haven't even addressed one of the biggest fears out there. December 7th is only 20 some odd days away from the end of the year. And we all know that Smash Brothers has a bad habit of being delayed.
I know, we do know that.
Yes,
so,
now,
yes,
if they
yes,
said
yes,
November,
yes.
You know, like, this Pokemon was December for whatever reason, but, you know, we could say, oh, it can get delayed a month and we'd still be fine. You know, Smash Brothers and Pokemon can totally work within the course of 2 weeks. But now it's December, and Sakurai said he's still working on balancing changes, so...
I can't knock them for that. That I have to take them at their word for that.
Yeah.
Because they gave us an actual concrete day. It wasn't a time frame. Like,
true.
So far, the Switch games that got delayed are Fire Emblem and Yoshi. And those were...
true.
They're coming.
They're coming.
They're
coming.
Not
they're
a coming. Day. So they gave us a day, which I think helps. And I have to imagine... I can't knock them for something that hasn't happened yet. Yeah. I understand the fear, but
the fear.
I am not... I've silenced that voice in my head. You're right. I think it's in everyone's head, but
I have
silenced that voice.
Yeah. The thing is that, and you're absolutely right, Tyler. You know, I have to be fair to them, which is why I'm giving them a B because you know, Smash Brothers alone, you know.
Oh my gosh. Well, we'll talk about Smash in a minute.
Yeah.
That'll
be the
best.
That will be our ultimate topic.
Will, do you want to jump in before we switch over to that? Because I do have some other things I want to say about the rest of the show.
No,
that's last.
We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
My two takes on this is like the reason I kind of grade up them on the higher echelons is because my view is basically like Nintendo's more or less planning very great, I feel greatly, on the short term instead of the long term. Compared to Microsoft and Sony, like those games, their games they showed up, including third party or first party, they're really playing for the long term games. Like they're really putting their basket in 2019. Well, for Nintendo, again, like we have like like the third parties there. As we said, like Mario Tennis Aces, Octopath Traveler. I feel like in regards to third party, like they pretty much got the for Nintendo Switch down for this year, and like just for the remainder of the year, I feel like until we get like the next major killer app, which is Smash Brothers, and even there is that pending chance that it will possibly get delayed once again, as with the track record indicates. But like that's what I feel like Nintendo has done well, is like they really are they planned it for the short term, not for the long term. That's what I feel like. And like during the entire presentation, it's just like, yeah, this is what we plan for the rest half of the year. And I think that's just about it. Doesn't need to be. And they give a little tidbits regarding to Fire Emblem being in 2019, even though it was promised in 2018. So yes, that's a mark against them. However, with everything else that's kind of like being offered on the Switch for the second half of the year, I feel like, yeah, it's already pretty dang fulfilling as it is right now, until like our next Nintendo Direct, if there's going to be anything to fill in the void.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Will in that, one, I wasn't expecting 2018 to be as good as 2017 game release-wise. And with Smash being, you know, if Smash was delayed till January, it really wouldn't be the end of the world. It's, in all reality, it's just a month. But, you know, or even in February, it's just 2 months. But I obviously hope it doesn't get delayed. But, you know, you could even look at 2017's lineup and say, oh, I don't really like fighting games, so I didn't like ARMS. I don't really like Splatoon. I don't really like strategy games, so I don't like Mario and Rabbids. And I don't really like fighting games, so I don't like Pokken Tournament. But Odyssey, I like that. Then you're like, that's four big releases that you're missing. I think that this year there is still, despite it not being that huge concentration of first-party games, there's still a lot of really good titles here. I mean, June is a really, and June and July are pretty loaded. I mean, I'm really, really excited for Tennis Aces and Crash Bandicoot. I pre-ordered Crash Bandicoot. The Donkey Kong Mario and Rabbids DLC is coming out, too. We got Octopath and Captain Toad. Not super into Captain Toad. Octopath, absolutely. Sonic Mania Plus, that's huge for me, coming out in July, too. And you got Okami in August. I mean, there's a lot of games here. They're not first party, but that's fine. I mean, it's great that Nintendo has the third party support at long last to fill in the gap. I mean, back in the Wii U, this would be like a 4 month wait or 5 month wait, just sitting here twiddling your thumbs, waiting for a new game to play. And there's still plenty of games to come. And like Will said, 2019 is poised to be ridiculous because a lot of those development cycles will be at least approaching from the releases from 2017, we're getting closer to those studios being able to pump out another game, and we're getting closer to Yoshi, Fire Emblem. We know that Pokemon, and hopefully Metroid Prime 4 will all be out then. And with Smash Bros. Like just being our kind of evergreen game out this early in the console generation, like those four games alone would be great. And you know that they're going to have more surprises. So ultimately, it goes back to what I said in the beginning. Like, it's all about achieving your goal. And Nintendo needed to keep the hype around the Switch. They needed to keep the conversation focused on Nintendo. And they did that. I mean, did you see social media with the Smash stuff? It was blowing up. I mean, I obviously, you know, I'm one person, so it's not a great sample size. But a lot of my buddies who aren't huge gamers are texting me like, oh, my God, did you see Smash? And like, of course, I saw Smash. Why do you even need to ask? But the excitement is through the roof for Smash.
It's
and
true.
I feel that this year, that's what they need to do. I won't give them an A. It wasn't an A. You're right. Objectively, I see where Todd's coming from. Like, last year was an A. They had a ridiculous number of games. They were all awesome, and it was super hype. This wasn't an A. But it was almost as good as it could have. Like it almost was as good as it got. Like the reality of this Smash game was more than enough to generate hype for the Switch throughout the year.
No, you're right, and you know, like that's why I gave it a B, because Smash Brothers itself is, you know, C plus to C minus just on its own, and then you know once you add, like I was happy. And I know Will was pumping fists when we saw that Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yes,
isn't
absolutely.
Coming
too.
To the Switch. And then Fortnite finally got confirmed, you know, after infinite teasing. And then, you know, which for the record proves that that leak sheet was 100% accurate.
Yes.
How great was that, you know? And so, you know, Fortnite is one of those third-party games that, you know, everyone is going to be okay, not everyone, but a lot of people will be playing for some time. So, you know.
Did you see the Sony stuff? The Sony, if you've ever played Fortnite on PlayStation 4, You cannot transfer your account to Switch.
That's
this was reported by Cooper Keefe, yes, our boss.
Yeah. Yep. Sony needs to be punished for that. Like, that's just so
Sony needs to be punished.
It affects my younger brother. Like, my younger brother played on PS4, and now he's like, this is awful. Like, call up Sony and yell at them. Like,
yeah. But it does have cross-play with Xbox and PC.
Yes.
So that is something, because how ironic that Microsoft is the kinder one.
Right.
I'm just Microsoft's
been that way for a while.
Yeah, they've been very progressive, where Sony has been, well, jerks. But anyway, but moving on, focusing again. But, you know, getting Fortnite officially confirmed was great. You know, Dragon Ball FighterZ is coming, Dark Souls is still coming, World Ends with the U is coming. But then again, with the exception of Fortnite, like, I'm still waiting on those release dates. And, you know, to get me hyped, if they said, you know, Dragon Ball FighterZ, let's see, Octopath is July 13th, 27th, July 27th, or whatever, August 3rd, whatever the weekend is after that, you know, like, that gets me hyped, because, like, I have a date. I wanted the date, you know, and I didn't get it. And then The World Ends With You, they show, like, a brief little thing, and they go, oh, hey, it's fall 2018. Fall is 3 months, you know, and it could still get delayed. So, you know, I need to see these release dates. You know, when last year with, you know, Metroid, we knew we weren't going to get a release date, and that was fine. I mean, we could have, potentially, I suppose, but they said, you know, in development, that was enough for us, because we knew it was coming, you know. But with FighterZ, the game is done. You know, it's on all these other systems, and so is Dark Souls, and all these other ones, and I'm like, where's my freaking release dates? So, it's just, you know, that's why I have to, you know, say this just a solid B, because they've got games. They will have a lot of games to finish out the rest of the year. Not all of them are first party. A lot of them are third party. And that's, in this rare, very rare case, that's okay. But it's hard to get hyped when I don't know what's coming. You know, when it's coming, I should say.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand that. I think, ironically, you know, me and Will are giving them B pluses and you're giving them a B. So that our difference is not there yet. Although I feel that we are significantly more positive on it. I want to talk about kind of that weird thing that we said with The World Ends With You, because they had that montage of games that were coming.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm cool with that. I liked how it was rapid-fire, fast-paced. But I did feel that Dragon Ball FighterZ and World Ends With You specifically, those two felt like they should have had their own little time, right?
Exactly.
Like, that did feel strange to me. Like, Dragon Ball FighterZ, that's a pretty big deal. Like, yeah. We knew it was coming. Everybody knew it was coming. But
Hold on. Everybody hoped it was coming. You know, even with the leak, everybody's like, is this real?
There because was a lot of confidence, though, given the,
given
what Bandai had said about...
Yeah, we held up our end of the deal with Xenoverse, so they should have brought it. But until they do, all we had was hope. So, you know, enough hope. Maybe enough hope to fill up a Spirit Bomb or two, I'm just saying. But, you know, I agree. I totally agree. Like, those two deserved their own spot, because those are big announcements. Okay, not World Ends With You, because that got the one in the Nintendo Direct previously. But FighterZ, that deserved its own 30-second spot. You know, maybe Goku blasting a Kamehameha out of a Switch.
Did we even get the date for that?
No, I just said that. That's all I was complaining about. It said available 2018.
I'm tired. It's late. But yeah, that was weird.
So, all right. Well, I want to... now that we've got that out of the way, I want to get to some of the more positive things that we can all agree on. And Will, I want to talk with you first about about Xenoblade Chronicles 2, the story DLC. I would talk with Tyler about this, but he hasn't gotten very far in the game.
I've almost beat Breath of the Wild, Todd. I've almost beat it.
Almost only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and atomic bombs.
And Bocchi.
I'll worry about Bocchi.
Yeah, I'm very close. Okay. I'm very close. It's going to be done next weekend.
Talk to me when you're done. But anyway, Will, what? I honestly don't know how far you are in the game, but I know you're farther than Tyler. So...
Yes, I'm pretty much at Rex. Rex's homeland right now. I just reached the Rex's homeland.
All right. Well, then you don't know the whole story, so I'll keep it light on spoilers. But what did you think about the story DLC that we got?
I kind of got the gist of it regarding to the whole background behind Torna.
Yeah.
And, like, just seeing, like, this is basically going to be a prequel story. And
basically.
I actually did some research on it. Like, apparently, like, this DLC is also standalone. So if people just want to go and buy this DLC just to get the prequel story, then they can do that, which is, like, $30. But just, like, seeing the story of Torna, Malos, all these characters before the main game. I mean, again, it provides a whole lot of context. I see, like, seeing, like, again, the little sister, like, all these, like, blades that you know back then before meeting Rex is, like, again, provides better context, know much more the motives. Like, again, it fills in a whole lot of blanks for these characters. And, like, the new, like, new characters, new places, even, like, I think there's also a new change in combat system because, again, you're not controlling Rex in multiple blades anymore. You're just controlling, like, Mitra and one and your other character. Yeah. So it's definitely a change and also provides a whole lot of context. And for a $30 price tag, it seems like the story itself, like, is just great voice acting. At least from what we've seen in the Japanese dubbing, it's great voice acting, great content. As you know, in Xenoblade standards. So for me, I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
I just need to go and have to progress in the game now to actually finish
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, you gotta beat the game to get the full story. But like I'm very excited for this because all throughout Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which again I gave a 4.5 out of 5, was pretty much tied for my favorite Switch game of last year. Was just seeing that we're going back to Torna 500 years before the game for the main game. Is great because we throughout the story you hear about what happened to Torna and how it was a great place before it was destroyed, and hearing about the hero that had Mithra and the Aegis before for Rex, and I was blown away by their revealing this, and this one was okay to have second right out of the gate because it felt special. And, the battle system's going to be a little bit different. We're going to play as new characters, and we're going to see everything from a new perspective. This is good stuff. And anyone who's enjoyed Xenoblade, it's gonna be good for them. And, $30, maybe a little expensive, but...
It looked very good, though. It really looked very good. It fits right in with Nintendo's recent mantra of continue to add content.
Yeah.
Meaningful... Big content post-release.
Yeah. Which is hilarious because if you really think about it, that's now three major Nintendo titles that's getting major DLC within the next few months.
Because
Mario Rabbids got the Donkey Kong Adventure DLC, which looks great, which we'll talk about maybe a little bit later. And then, of course, the big news that happened later after the E3 conference, the Octo expansion is out today at the time of this recording. In the evening, they didn't really specify the exact time, but the Octo expansion is about to come out. So
yes, this was announced during the end of the Splatoon tournament.
There you go.
Basically, the details. Yes, they said that they said they were only going to continue supporting the game for 1 year with extra DLCs and content, costumes, and weapons.
But now they changed
it up. They basically said they will be now continuing supporting the game until the end of December. So it's going to go supporting it beyond 1 year since its release.
Nice.
So praise to that.
Yeah, and then the Octo expansion. So that's going to be good.
And then the Octo expansion, which they just said ringer ding ding phone call and coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or today at that recording. Yeah. It's like, holy moly, everyone's on their feet and everybody's happy. Yeah. And of course, they got to add in one more thing, and that is Amiibo.
Yeah.
Amiibo. Yeah, they're acting the Octolings male and female, and octopus form. Yeah, octopus form. And yeah, it's currently out right now on Best Buy on major retailers. So it's currently the same price as a 3-pack. It's $35 right now. So in case you want more Amiibos, then hey, go ahead.
I of course expect all of us to get the Octo expansion so we can talk about it on the next podcast next week. So
yes, we definitely will be getting that.
Yeah. So yeah, but I was blown away by that because we were all thinking August or something.
Right. Well,
like
that made sense. Your 8 theory. Yeah. It was really a trend. Besides Microsoft, ironically, it's just weird, weirdly paced press conferences and releasing of news. Octo expansion, you would have thought that would have had a big segment on the direct, at least a 1 minute look at the Octo expansion. But no.
Yeah. But to be fair, we already had the big reveal during the Nintendo Direct, and then there was the mini Direct where they had a follow up.
Right,
then...
but they just came out and said to the press, "Oh, by the way, it's coming tomorrow." Yeah. Weird.
This was during the Splatoon tournament. I guess they want to save it for something that's really special. And for in this case, again, they want to announce these big news at a Splatoon based event. Hence
Yeah, but
the
there's not a lot. Not you had they had to know that not as many people were going to be paying attention to that though than they would be
Yeah.
the noon press conference. And it was weird that they didn't announce a new character at the Smash one. I was really I, the Smash one was amazingly
Ah.
fun, but I really wanted them to announce somebody new. And when
Another
Sakurai came onto the
character, yeah.
stage, I thought they were going to, and then they didn't. But yeah, it
You
was.
could say we had after the tournament we had zero chance.
Funny.
Yo, that was really fun to watch. I loved that.
I love that it was Mario versus Sonic at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just classic. So, yeah.
And we also know that Bayonetta's still broken as ever.
Hey, they're still working on balances.
Thank you, MKLeo. MKLeo, first of all, he's a Marth main and Cloud, but he's a Marth main, so you expect him to be the hero. And sure enough, there he was, exposing Bayonetta's brokenness to Sakurai. And one of the Smashers I followed was sitting next to Sakurai and said he shook his head when he did the combo. He was like, "Ugh." So he took note.
And
He took note.
I need to reiterate that during the Nintendo Treehouse today that they said that the demo that was being used for the
Yes.
show and for the tournament was the E3 demo, and they are still working on balancing, so you
I
know that
yeah.
Bayonetta is going to be tweaked.
You could
So.
tell that they didn't really balance everything yet when Ridley's side special did like 36 damage to
The
Mario in
tail
that
thing?
initial demo.
Hold
Yeah.
on, hold on.
No, the
Okay,
tail thing did
hold
like
on.
50 damage.
Okay, wait. All right, that's different. 'Cause the tail has a the tail one has a specialty where if it hits a
Right.
certain spot on a character, it does massive damage. You know, not unlike going through the heart, like what he did for Mega Man. But yeah, I guess they still got to work out Ridley. Ridley apparently was really hard to get into, but that's in Smash Bros. Thing. We'll get into that later. All right, moving on to my biggest joy and disappointment. Super Mario Party. Kidding, kidding. Actually, why not? Let's talk about Super Mario Party for a little
Yeah, we
bit.
should actually.
I was surprised. This was one. I will admit, this was one of the big surprises for me. I was not expecting a Mario Party comeback, especially like how they did that live action build up. That was. I thought that was really clever because I was that guy at one time. Okay, I was that guy. Mario Party 3. He's like, I gotta get the high dice roll. Gotta get the high dice roll. Didn't get the high dice roll. But what are you gonna do? But let's see. So, it looks like it's going back to the original. It says itself, inspired by the original Mario Party board game play, the beloved series is coming to Nintendo Switch. New mini games and play styles and make use of the Joy-Con controllers. So, we got the dice blocks coming back. You know, up to four players.
Classic, not car sitting in
Yes,
boards.
it is pure Mario Party, which is something we've been asking for years. So, you know, and then they got, you know, different modes and all the characters. So this seems like it could be, you know, a good casual callback to the classic Mario Party games because that's what they needed. Like
Yes,
I
yes.
don't remember how the Mario Top 100, even the Mario Party Top 100 one did. I don't know, but if they can go back to the classics of what Mario Party was back in the N64 era, this will do well.
Yeah, it looked really good. I mean, I'm a huge Mario Party fan as well. And the fact that the game that they use, or the mini game they use when they showcased how you could put your switches like next to each other and connect them
Oh yeah, the
digitally like
tank
that.
game. The tank game. That was
Yes,
clever.
it's Shell Shocked for Mario Party 2, which is one of my all-time favorites. And that was so clever. It looked like just a really cool idea and something really unique to Switch. I'm not sure how practical that is. Like, if you have four players, the Switch's screen isn't puny, but is it really big enough to see everything clearly without all kind of smashing your heads together? Still, it was a really cool idea and just a cool way to use the Switch's tech. Plus, Diddy Kong was in it. So, you know, I got Daisy, I got Rose, and I got Diddy Kong. I mean, that roster is perfect.
It's again, this is something that this is a game that you can only view and enjoy so much, whereas you have to play it to get the true feeling. So, and it, we did this is one of the games we actually got a release date on. It's October 5th, so you know it's right before it's you know a month before Pokemon. So it could, you know, I think it could do well, but it's gotta nail what Mario Party is all about. And the live action stuff showed, hey, you know, using the Joy-Cons and getting everyone together and four player combat and all that. And the Switch will ma I think the Switch is a perfect place to have a good Mario Party game again because of that, you know, hey, why don't you play with me aspect. You know, that's fun, but we'll just have to see. So, yeah.
I mean, the only thing I really like about Super Mario party. It's just, again, the fact that you can also use two Switch units to like connect with for these mini games, which it's kind of a little gimmick, granted, but again, it's like it's more or less a casual social thing for new players. I mean, again, not us meant for hardcores, but in case you're like you are still into the Mario Party phase of things, this may be, I don't know, maybe a good little trick here and there.
So, like, as sad as it may sound, that was actually one of the biggest surprises of the thing for me. You know,
it was definitely, it wasn't like a Mario Party 12, it wasn't a Mario Party 11 that you were like, ugh, this is just classic. It was actually exciting. I mean, they went back to the series that we all kind of love, which is, I mean, Mario Party used to be not a huge deal, but a pretty big deal. I mean, it's one of those things that people still play today.
Yeah, in the N64 era, it was one of the games that you had to play. And ironically, didn't it come out before Smash Brothers? So, because there's three Mario Parties, so whatever. All right, now let's get on to the game that truly was my greatest joy and disappointment, Fire Emblem Three Houses, which, I'll be honest, I'm not really sure how I feel about the name.
I hate the name. It's very boring.
Yeah. Really?
Yes, I hate the name. I wasn't sure how I felt about it until right before we started recording, and I thought, you know what? I gotta say, I hate the name. The name is terrible.
Three houses.
Three houses. Three houses. Three houses. Three houses. Three houses.
Three houses. So, I mean, I've seen somebody put jokes on Twitter. You know, Fire Emblem, three houses, two bathrooms. You know, one pool. You know, three houses, three men and a little lady. You know, and all that stuff. But you know, I don't know. I think they could have got, and obviously there is time to change the name, but you know, it's, they kind of set it in stone a little bit with the E3 thing. But ignoring the name, let's just push this out of our minds. Everything else looked good, right? I mean,
yes, it looked great.
It looked great. I seriously think they listened to us, Tyler, with all the things we've suggested over the last few months. Like, first off, I remember specifically saying they need to keep the animation style of Fire Emblem Shadows of Valentia with the, you know, the 2D cutscenes. And that's exactly what we got.
It was there.
Yeah. I feel like definitely like a blend between Shadows of Valentia and Warriors, actually, it feels like.
Oh, I meant just the 2D animations.
Yeah, like the cutscenes, like Celica runs up the stairs.
Yeah,
that art style.
Yeah, those cutscenes. Now, graphically, yes, Will, it does definitely take some nods to Warriors, especially with like the critical hit thing, which is, I think, really, really cool. But even more than that, they look even better than those models. All right,
you know what world looked like? Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
It does.
It struck me as a Xenoblade Chronicles 2 looking world.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's very, you know, it's fantasy medieval and everything, and they use the HD perfectly. I'm very surprised that this doesn't run 60 frames per second when it's done. You know, I was very surprised. Now, you know, a little light on story, and there's a lot of inference that they kind of had going on, but you know, isn't that always what's happening in a Fire Emblem game at first? But there's a lot of elements to this that just totally made me smile until I saw the release date. like, for example, the battle animations.
Yes, yes.
That was the coolest thing, because now it's like, oh, look, okay, I'm guiding my one character to battle one character. Wrong! You're leading an army, and they're going into battle with you. Or if you shoot an arrow, you're shooting it with a platoon. That's awesome, because that's something that gets lost in these Fire Emblem games. It's not, like, you know, 10v10. In some cases it was story-wise, sure, but then there's like these army battle scenes like in Radiant Dawn, you know, where it's allegedly, you know, hundreds versus thousands, and yet all you see is like 20 characters on one side and 20 characters on the other. Here you get the full war effect. This is a war led by generals and commanders, and that was so cool to see.
Yeah, it was. I mean, this one, usually, like with Pokemon, I do think that Pokemon Let's Go is going to look like it looks. I do hope that this one gets a little bit more time in the oven graphically. Outside, like, the overworld looks great, and the dungeon crawling elements, that looks fantastic. The character models look great, but the soldiers did look kind of plain to me. I mean, their animations were really smooth, and that was important, but I would like to see a little bit more, like, crispness, I guess, in the scenery and in the background characters. They do. I usually feel like when you see it, that's kind of what it's going to look like. I still think that here, but I do think that we could expect some visual refinements over the next 8 months or whatever it's going
to
be.
Are so hard to place.
Do you really expect to give a bit more polish to third-party characters or background characters?
Yeah,
than
I do.
Well, it would be nice, but again, I'm following the rules of anime. You don't pay attention to background characters. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying that they look like ridiculous, beautiful models, but I do think that they need to have a little bit more fluidity to them. They all looked really mechanical to me, and I would like to see them look more like actual soldiers. Like, they don't have to have super face detailed faces or anything, but I
that
need them to look less like mechanical. They definitely, it looked a little mechanical.
Well, we'll just have to see. I mean, again, we have until spring 2019. I will never let that down. I'm
and
so
yeah, I just want to also point out as well, like, that little ending scene out there, like, don't you think that's Tiki in that throne?
It does. It looks
yes,
like
Tiki. My buddy told me that.
It looks like
there's no way that's Tiki.
It's
though.
Not.
There's no
it
way.
Can't be.
Yeah.
But first of all, just listening to some of the character names we got, like the Saros
yes.
and everything in the land of, was it Forland or something like that? I got it right here.
Basically,
no,
the entire map and game is like based on the seasons. That's why.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like we've never heard some of these characters, and yet you can't deny that looks like Tiki. So the question is it Manaketti? You know, is it another Divine Dragon? I don't know, but. You know, I am intrigued, and some of the things I saw in the cuts in the cutscenes that they showed was epic. Like the guy with the Valentine blade just blowing up everybody. You know, that was cool. And then that one lady gripping that sword as if she's Zelda from Breath of the Wild. You know, wait, Tyler, you might not have gotten that far. Spoilers. But you know, there's a lot of intrigue in this, and. I mean, you mentioned like the dungeon crawling aspects. I don't know if it's dungeon crawling or like world exploring, but
that's
another thing from Shadows of Valentia that they took, and I'm glad because those are actually really fun things. And if we actually get to explore the world more instead of just being guided around by text walls and everything, you know, it looks good. And then we had like the choice of giving or training a person in sword or axe techniques. I wonder how that's going to play out. So,
again, like the convo. During the cutscenes, it's basically like apparently she is talking to you as a teacher figure. So possibly there's a possible chance that you are going to be controlling an avatar character as well.
Yes, it looks like that's the case. I am afraid that when they say spring, and it's reasonable. I mean, they said spring. I just feel like it could be May. Like it could be like 11 months out, and that's really difficult. But there's a lot of things that I wanted to know that I didn't get to learn here about this game. First of all, let me just say. If you listen to the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, I think that you know that I am a Fire Emblem obsessor. Like,
yeah.
It's unhealthy.
That's putting it lightly.
Easy, Will.
Can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? An honest confession. I did not remember the name of the game after the Direct because I was so excited about Smash that I actually could not remember the name of the game. And I forgot everything I had hoped to see about it until I stopped. I was like, okay, I'm done thinking about Smash for like 10 minutes. Let me just think about Fire Emblem. And regain myself. So they said there were going to be new ways to interact with your with your troops. We didn't see that like at all.
Hold on. I just mentioned the whole you can train a girl with a sword or an axe. That's
No, you're right. You're right. But that's not all they meant by that. You know, like I when I hear that, I think that they're talking about the way that you your support conversations and how those will affect you. We really didn't see anybody besides the three leaders of the houses. There's so many questions that I still have about this. Like you said, dungeon crawling. I said dungeon crawling. You're right, though. That was overworld exploration. Is there dungeon crawling? I would imagine so, given that
we
saw that. But there's a ton of things that I still need to know about this game. And they did not show a ton of it. And I think that that's why I really just was like all smashed was because I knew Fire Emblem was going to be – I felt like Fire Emblem was probably going to be here, like, you know, 95% sure that it was going to be here. But it really was like a very, very brief look, and I liked what I saw. But I have so many more questions.
Okay, and I'll grant you that, but I also want to recall to you the original Fire Emblem Fates trailer where we had like the conflict of like, you know, the choice of whatever, and we saw the characters, and I remember specifically, you know, we didn't know what the heck was going on. Like, why is this guy having to, you know, choose between these two people? You know, what's going on with the blue-haired girl in the water? You know, what
Well, we didn't do NEP back then, first of all. Second of all...
Oh, wow, that's cold. That's cold.
I didn't know
way
you
to dig
back
the
then.
Knife, man.
I didn't know you back then. But I don't remember that. I remember them at E3 talking about Fire Emblem Faiths and why Corrin had to make the choice and all that stuff.
Yeah,
that's how I remember that. But maybe, you know, I feel, oh, of course, there was that beginning trailer at the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now. And it's just like a painting of sorts of.
Right,
you know,
right.
Showing,
yeah, there was a lot
Fire
of speculation.
Emblem,
I thought that Azura was like a descendant of Lucina originally. But it was just a little tiny. I guess it was because it was Fates, and that came out of nowhere. So there was no anticipation. That was more. I think that's the difference. Is. For me, with Fates, it was like, oh my god, there's a new Fire Emblem. I can't believe there's a new Fire Emblem already. With this one, we knew it was coming. So I'm glad that, yes, it's still coming. Yes, it does look pretty good. And the gameplay mechanics are what we've hoped for from what we could tell. But I did want more. I wanted more.
Oh, I wanted more, and I wanted a freaking release date in 2018.
Yeah,
but we don't always get
that
what
we
want.
That was a huge buzzkill.
That was so, oh my gosh, but
yeah.
I mean, at least we got to see if they, oh my gosh, if they didn't show it. I mean, teaser or not, if they didn't show this, I would have lost it. It would have been it would have gone from B to C automatic. I guarantee, gosh dang to you, because it was not fair that we had to wait this long. But yeah.
Right, and even though they It's even in the previous direct as well, like they said, there is a new Fire Emblem game coming out, and like, when? I know a lot of people are basically clamoring for it. You better show off Fire Emblem game, and
yeah. I was one of them. Like,
it was smart, though. I mean, I think they did kind of, I think Echoes sold fine. Nintendo said they liked how it sold, but it didn't probably do as great as it could because there was a little bit of Fire Emblem fatigue setting in. I think that Fates was released the year before, right? Yeah, it was. So it was, there was,
yeah,
no, there was 1 year off for Fates, between Fates and Echoes.
Yeah.
And that wasn't enough. That wasn't,
But again, you also have to recall that, you know, as great as Fates was, that was the game that many feel that propelled it to the AAA status. And then Valentia, for as great as it was, wasn't, you know, fully like it wasn't like Fates.
Right,
you know,
right.
With the dungeon crawling and, you know, that you always do one damage and, you know, the Mila's turn wheel and everything. And I think that might have thrown some people off. Plus, it was a return to the past versus a future entry. And some people might not have felt the need to get it, unlike us, the true Fire Emblem fans. Kidding. No such thing. But, you know, it's just one of those things. But with Heroes, which, you know, was still kind of its infancy when Valentia came out, I think that Heroes is really helping build up this franchise so that when Three Houses comes out, it's going to just gangbuster sales, you know. So, but we're just gonna have to hold on and hope we get some more. You know, I would be very surprised if there's not a Nintendo Direct dedicated to Three Houses. Learn more about the Three Houses.
I'm expecting an August or September Nintendo Direct to really flesh out a lot of these games.
I would like that. I would like that a lot. See, that's the real question is when the next Nintendo Direct is gonna be.
Yep.
So, all right. Before we get to the main event, I do want to note that a very, very funny tweet has gone live from Xbox. And it's from Xbox UK. And they go, "Hey, Nintendo UK, want to play some Fortnite later?"
Oh, my
God. Oh, snap. You know, and just because of that, I'm going to say that Nintendo and Xbox won E3 and that Sony lost because of that tweet alone. Thank you, Microsoft. I'm retweeting that. I can't help myself. Oh, boy. Bom. Yeah. All right. So let's get right to it. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, right off the bat, you know, this was revealed to be something special. And they had Sakurai do the 25-minute breakdown, which was another brilliant thing that they did for sure. Okay, let's just start off at the top and work our way down. Everyone is here.
Literally everyone. I was
everyone.
Yelling. Oh,
everyone.
My God. If I had to do work today, otherwise I would have gone on. Todd, Will, if you guys had heard me screaming, that's why I'm not loud right now. My throat is shot because I was going ballistic. Like, I was like, when they announced who was the first one, they announced Ice Climbers. I was like, oh, Ice Climbers. And then they showed Wolf. I was like, oh, it's Wolf. And then they showed Young Link. I screamed. I'm telling you, I was screaming as loud as you could possibly scream. I was so happy.
I was happy. I was happy. I kind of screamed really loud when they brought up Pokemon Trainer. Because I was like, oh, they brought my Pokemon Trainer. Holla! You know.
For me, like, I was at work, like, I was just basically trying to hold in my screams. Like, oh my god, they're bringing back. They're bringing everyone back. Ice Climber's back.
Yeah, everyone is here.
Everybody's
here.
Back.
Everyone
they
is here.
Snake back.
Pichu. Pichu. They brought back Pichu.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that one personally.
I am so happy about that. How could
but
you not
be happy?
But
he still does damage
that?
To himself. He's still going to be the lowest tier character.
News? He wasn't in. Well, that. He might not be because he wasn't in the demo, and from what we saw of him, a little bit of gameplay, his moves look a lot more useful than Pikachu's. His Thundershock stuns enemies and keeps them frozen. So like Pikachu's neutral B is just like, ouch, that hurt. Pichu's, they are like electrified, so you can follow that up with a combo, which is a game changer, 100%. Just that one move.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Anyway, but. No, Sakurai said that the true goal of Ultimate was to be the true Ultimate version of the game, which for him, and in his is his belief that we the fans wanted this. He wanted to bring in every single character that had ever been in a Smash Bros. Game, regardless if they were DLC like in Smash 4 or one-off appearances like Pichu or the Pokemon Trainer. He wanted to bring everyone to bear, which meant that just off of the pre-announced inkling and all the returning characters. That's 65 characters in one game. And then you add Ridley, which we'll get to in a second. But, that was a bold move. Like, we know they've done bold things before, but this was bold to bring everyone back. Oh, and we forgot
Snake.
A big one. Solid
Snake.
Back. Snake's back. Which, if you recall, I wrote an article about that last week. That's another leak that was true. Not true at present is Microsoft being represented, but hey, there's still time. There's still time.
Right.
So, but, they brought Snake back. And, oh, side note, David Hayter is indeed the voice of Snake in Smash Brothers, as he should be. Okay. So, but again, they brought back Snake. They brought back Bayonetta and Cloud and Ryu
and
Roy
Corrin.
And Corrin and Robin and Lucina Epsilon. All and Wolf and Falco.
Daisy.
Yeah, Daisy.
Welcome,
yeah.
Daisy.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
But Sheik and Zelda, Young Link, Toon Link, Link.
It's everybody.
Link. Everyone is here. Every single one of them is here, and that's. I can't deny it's kind of cool.
It's
just to
incredibly
see everyone here.
Cool.
I mean, that art piece, that that left
yes.
to right art
yes.
piece that
yes.
they showed, and then the official cover art, which I'm looking at now, which is basically the as much as the roster as they could put on one cover of a very small container, but. Everyone
I love how
here.
Robin is sitting in the corner on the Everyone Is Here picture
yeah.
reading a book. Everybody
yeah,
else
here.
Is posing or fighting. He's just sitting in the corner reading a book. It's so
yeah.
funny.
it's like everyone's ready to go, and he's like, hey, just tell me when it's time to tip the scales, all right? But, it was a bold move, and yet they backed it up in the way I don't know if people expected, because while it's great that they brought everyone back, it wouldn't have meant anything if they were all exactly the same.
Right.
But then they spent, part of, again, 25 minutes. This was easily twice as long as the last two press conferences by Nintendo, E3, I should say, because they always went about 20 to 25 minutes at most. And this one was 45 minutes solid, with 25 of that being Smash Brothers. And in it, they broke down virtually every character, there was some exceptions, of course, but, again, they're still balancing and tweaking, but they said, how everyone is different. Like, one of my personal favorites, and I know, Tyler, this was one of your favorites, Ganondorf now uses his bloody sword.
Yes!
About freaking time. To be fair, that's just his smash
and
attacks, but still.
The redone moves is huge. I love Marth's Dancing Blade is faster. Phenomenal. Ike's eruption now shoots a wave of fire forward, which is incredible.
I also want to note that Sakurai won in a treehouse match as Ike, so I better not get any flack for using the guy anymore.
Yes,
Sakurai uses Ike. So
regular Breath of the Wild, Link. Okay. Wait, hold on. Let's just clarify this from now on the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast and really the world. Do we refer to Breath of the Wild Link in Smash as Breath of the Wild Link, or do we just say Link? It's a mouthful. That's the Wild Link. Because you have Young Link and Toon Link, so Link
just
could
say
just
Link.
Work.
Yeah, say Link.
Just say Link.
Okay, so that's
it's
official decree to the world. Yeah. It's Link. We're just calling him Link.
We're just calling
him Link. He shoots two arrows instead of one.
Right.
He's got the remote detonator bombs. That's
a game changer.
Yes, you did. You did call that. That's an absolute game changer. Now, I wish that he had, like, Revali's Gale and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But with seeing the roster as it was, I was initially thinking, this is so cool, they're all back, but that means that we're not going to get any cool move changes. No. And sure enough, I mean, just about every character they showed had one. Mario's moves were the same, which was kind of weird. He has Cappy on his head, but it's just like a thing that he just has.
I think his Final Smash is different and something like that, but I don't remember.
It wasn't actually.
No, it's still his usual Hadouken.
It's not a Hadouken, but yeah. All right.
Speaking of Hadouken, Ryu's new ability is critical because in Smash 4 it was frustrating to try to. Sometimes he would turn around when you're trying to do a directional input, but now he's always facing his opponent like he does in his actual game.
Only when you're doing one-on-one matches. It's only one-on-one matches.
Right. Another incredible feature, but continue, Todd. You're directing.
No, you're fine. But like Link has a new Final Smash with his Ancient Arrows, which is another thing I called. Toon Link and I guess Young Link, they weren't really clear. You know, they have different ones. And then Zelda was easily the one of the biggest surprises visually.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because, you know, to be fair, when I'm like, why does she look like that? And like, because that's not Breath of the Wild Zelda, which, and then they're like, well, you know, that one was more of a scientist and researcher, so we decided to go back to a Link Between Worlds, which is brilliant! Because that's striking visually. It's a callback to another classic Zelda game, and it just looks, she looks great.
She's gorgeous. She's just that smile, because we're so used to the dour Zelda of
Twilight Princess.
And Ocarina of Time to a lesser extent. Like,
lesser
Zelda
extent, yeah.
is just, she looks so happy.
She's
awesome.
Happy. It's great, and you know, that was great. But you know, she looks the same, which is fine. And then Pit has the Lightning Chariot, which is really cool.
Oh, yeah. The rework smashes, yes.
Yeah, rework smashes. DDD has a cage match,
apparently. That was awesome.
So then the R-Wings, which I asked for in the last Smash Brothers game, you know, they're getting a thing, and the Landmaster is thankfully retired. You know, and on. And then there's, like, just the little tweaks, you know, like Marth's Dancing Blade or Donkey Kong's smash attacks. You know, his punches are different a little bit now. And Palutena now has a guard and reflect for her down B. It's these little changes that just make the game so much better. And air dodge is now a little more advanced. Perfect shield is a little bit more complicated, so you have to get the time right. Sakurai literally went through every aspect of the game and listened to all the fan complaints. Okay, pretty much all the fan complaints. And, you know, said, we need to fix this. And he is. And they are. And they're still working on it. So imagine what it's going to be like when the game is done. So... It's a lot, and you know, that's, we were debating for so long whether this is a new game or a port. And if we're going to be completely fair and objective, it's kind of a bit of both, because
it
is a new game. And I saw an article earlier, like before the podcast, it said that it will be 60 frames per second, both docked and undocked. So that's really cool. It's got enhanced graphics, clearly. We have new characters, but not as many as we want, which we'll get to in a second. And yet they're bringing all the old characters back. So it's like this beautiful balance of port and new game. And I don't mind.
Because... I kind of disagree, actually. It's a new game to me. There's enough differences in the mechanics. First of all, the pros who played it said that the physics are different. That's a huge thing. Using the same engine, from what I understand, at Smash 4, which is weird because the Bandai Namco guy tweeted it out. That might be wrong. It might be a different engine. But with all the new characters... the focus being on characters, this to me, I can't, it doesn't feel like a port. I mean, yes, it's similar looking. It's not that quantum leap that every other Smash Bros. Is.
Or has had.
Right. But it's, again, it's coming out just 4 years after. The Switch is stronger than the Wii U, but I mean, it's not a power juggernaut, you know? There's a lot we haven't seen yet, too. That's another thing to consider.
Yeah.
To me, I don't feel like there is the debate that you're talking about, Todd, that people are saying it's really Smash 4.5. I don't see it. I mean, it's a different game. The mechanics are different. It's a different game.
No, and I mean, it will be functionally a different game, and I think that is a strong point to say it's a new game. And even Sakurai says it's a new game. I don't know. I just see this weird blend, and it's still, I would say, without a doubt, it's more of a new game than an old game, because, you know, it does have a lot of new things, but you know, it's gonna be one of those moral debates, especially because there's a lot of debate because of how this was revealed. Many are wondering if A, this is gonna be the last Smash Brothers game, and B, if this is Masahiro Sakurai's last one because of how he did this. So, but that's a debate for another time.
Yeah, and granted, Sakurai definitely looks a little bit, time has kind of claimed him a little bit, to be frank.
You know, he
He still
said
looks super young.
he
He is
looks
the ageless
young.
wisdom.
He looks young, but you know, it's just he said numerous times that these games take a toll on him, and he's even had surgery because of what's, you know, his time in this game. And so he kind of wondered if he not cheated, but you know, kind of, you know, went a roundabout way to make sure he didn't have to go through that again by bringing everyone back. So I don't know, but let's talk about some of the new things and the things that weren't in it. Okay, first and foremost, Ridley. Ridley.
I wasn't super crazy about Ridley.
Okay,
I'm gonna say it.
Tyler's out of the podcast now. Will, you understand.
Yes, I understand the whole debate. Like, oh, really too big, really too big. With this appearance, it pretty much laid that argument to rest. Like, just having Ridley is like towering. He's towering, like almost big as pretty much as big as Bowser, and just like his attacks. Holy moly! Just if you really think you want to have something that's like brutal, like Ganondorf or Bowser, please have Ridley. And just
Ridley.
the fact he has a spear tail, jeez, go Predator on ya, really.
It's so awesome. He killed Mega Man. Yeah. And then he was twirling Cappy like it was nothing. It's like, I got your hat.
Right,
All right,
right.
Tyler, fine. Why weren't you happy about Ridley, you
I wasn't not
communist?
happy about Ridley. Ridley is not my favorite character. I mean, it's a popular fan character. So I'm excited for everybody who's excited about Ridley. I was definitely team Ridley's too big, but it I mean, clearly I was wrong. I mean, they made it work. Ridley looks reasonable on the screen. She does look. It does look. How do I say she? Why do I think Ridley is a she? It does
It's
look.
ambiguous.
It does look kind of weird to me on the screen. It does look kind of weird, but it's still. The moveset is cool and all that all works. I just would have rather it been Dixie Kong. I'm just
Oh
being
gosh.
or Paper
Now,
Mario or something.
which brings another important point. Masahiro Sakurai said, why do I keep saying his full name? Sakurai said that because they're bringing in everyone back, they hope you understand. They hope we understand that there may not be as many new characters, which kind of goes in line with what Bill Trennan said last week about how we want to keep a few surprises left for the end of the year. So, which begs the question. Now, with Ridley and the Inkling, which is already included in the roster, we have a 66 character roster. How big is Smash Bros. Going to get? Because clearly they are going to have more characters, because if not, they would have said Ridley is the only other new character. Agreed?
Right, right,
Okay,
right.
so my question is, how many more do you think they're going to add? Because my thought is they'll do four more.
Yeah, given the time period from its like alleged release date, yeah, that would be the right about number.
I think four, that makes an even 70, which is still an astonishing number. That could be, I think, three more first party characters and then one other third party character. Don't know who, you know, especially now that it's a limited number. I don't know who they might go for. I won't lie, I was really sad that Bomberman was
Yes.
relegated to a assist trophy. Granted, he's in the game. That's something, but it's not enough. I wanted him as a main character. So, and now all my hopes are put on Sora, which I really don't know if it's gonna happen now.
Like also, if like, by the time of this recording as well, the main Super Smash Bros. Website is currently up right now. That kind of like highlights all characters,
Correct.
including some of them, including their final smashes. The one thing that's kind of like the popular theory right now is like, remember the time when we were revealed with Lucina and Robin, and Crom said, "I will have my chance another day."
Yeah, that was.
Apparently, Robin's final smash has not been shown off yet.
Uh-oh.
So it is a possible chance that it
I would
may
freak
that
out.
Crom may be the next
Listen,
guest,
I
next
would
character.
freak out. I
But
would absolutely freak out. But I think that we're going to have actually more new characters than you, Todd. I think we're going to have seven.
so seven as of right now.
I
So
think, well,
73
okay.
total.
So count Ridley,
Okay.
yes. Yeah, I think that we're I think we're going to get I think we're going to get seven more. And DLC is going to be a thing as well. So
True.
I'm kind of wrapping DLC into that. I think 70, you're probably right, is a good starting spot for the roster, but I do expect them to kind of leak more characters as the game continues. I expect plenty of DLC in the way of characters, but I expect definitely at least 7 newcomers on the roster from the game's beginning.
Will, how about you?
For me, it's like, granted, yes, a good round number like 70 is definitely a good place just for the full game, but good thing that Ty brought it up, that DLC it will definitely play a part of it. So yeah, I think it's like 7 or even 8 characters overall would probably be the best number, though that may be asking a bit too much from Sakurai.
I agree.
But yeah, a good solid 7 or like even 6 I'll be happy with, honestly. It's just the characters themselves was already like, new characters are pretty like the wild card factor when you put them into the meta and the entire roster. Like, how would they fight against each other? So, like, for me, any new character, I mean, I'm glad that if they bring new characters, I'm happy for that, especially if it's, like, something that's really out of the ordinary, like Banjo-Kazooie or Krom. But, like, I don't mind if they, like, be a bit more conservative with their amounts, really.
Yeah, I mean, I just think we're getting Dixie, K. Rool. I think that we're getting a Microsoft representative still. There's a lot, and we didn't get Rex or Pyra. I mean, I think that they're going to be coming to the game.
I agree. If they're going, if I
Ribbon
just
Girl,
have to
play... no Ribbon Girl. I think Ribbon Girl's coming. Or
Spring Man.
Right,
you know,
right. I think that an Arms character is absolutely coming.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's plenty of options for them to pick, and there's plenty of cool characters that people would really like to see that are still out there, and that's just from first party. So, I do think that Sakurai means it when he says he's not adding a ton of characters, but he has said that in the past, and then we got Smash 4's roster. So
you can't
take him at his word on this.
And again, there was DLC, which added even more, so there is that aspect, like you said, Tyler.
Yeah, and also just basically thinking right now, like, regarding to these possible new characters, like, what kind of Final Smashes they can be, which is, like, quick and flashy, because, as you know, all Final Smashes are not, like, time-based. It's just quick and simple. That's it.
Yeah, with the exception of like Bowser, where you have to like aim and throw a punch or whatever. But yeah, so but it's gonna be interesting, and it's gonna be awesome. I totally can't wait to get it, and you know it's gonna be, if it does come out on December 7th, it's gonna be a great way to wrap up the season.
Right,
and
a way to celebrate my birthday as well.
That too. So. It's gonna be good, and you know, again, they did this the best way possible. Like, if they had just done the trailer, there would have been so many questions, you know. But they said they did the Everyone Is Here trailer, and then they did the character breakdowns and the new stages, which I'm excited for. Like Murray Towers, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that one.
And I'm glad the Inkling Squid Sisters are here, so thank God.
Oh yes, the original Squid Sisters are an assist trophy, and they'll get to do a performance in Smash Brothers, which is awesome. I also want to talk about the Inkling moveset, which perfectly incorporates not just the ink based gameplay of Splatoon, but basically like all of their weapons, from the rollers, the splatter shots, the ink bombs, and then the killer whale is their final smash. That is pure Sakurai fully embodying everything.
How about the fact that when you paint somebody, they take bonus damage too?
Yeah,
cool little Splatoon tweak.
Yeah, and you have to watch your ink usage and recharge. So. You know, Inklings are perfect addition, and that's why you're right, Tyler. I totally expect one of the remaining new characters to be, Spring Man or Ribbon Girl or both. You know, so that would be, because they have the same thing. They're totally worth it moveset wise. So, but I was happy to see that we got to witness how the Inklings worked in Smash Brothers. So. That was worth it. And again, we're going to get new stages. We still don't know if there's going to be like more single player modes. 8-player battle is back. Of course, the GameCube controllers are going to be usable. So, yeah.
And of course, the new Daisy and Ridley amiibo and more of the Smash series.
And Inkling. They got Inkling Smash version. So there's that. This is truly going to be the ultimate Smash Brothers. So.
The graphics. We have to talk about the graphics, because these character designs are... they are what I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
The characters look... first of all, everything looks great. Like, all the old courses. I love how Green Greens it's in HD and it looks nice, but it still has that Melee kind of hint to it.
Whereas the
Final Destination and Battlefield stages are brand new, beautiful. They also have Battlefield mode, which is one of the most important demands from the community, because Final Destination Omega stages were great, but adding in the Battlefield mode is game-changing. I prefer Battlefield personally. I think that it's kind of more of Smash to have platforms. But,
I agree.
Back to the character models. They could not be better. As a Marth fanboy, I just, his model is so stinking good. Every single Fire Emblem character looks just incredible. I just can't describe it without using superlatives.
I think Ike looks radiant.
Zelda's redesign.
I love Zelda.
I adore Zelda's redesign. Breath of the Wild, Link looks phenomenal. Mario's overalls, the detail on the characters is incredible. You have to go to the new Smash Bros. Website, smashbros.com, and just check out these characters. They all have little videos. They all have 20-second videos of them in action. Ganondorf's back to his Ocarina of Time look, which is way more menacing. Totally preferred. Every single character just incredible.
Yeah, Sakurai made special mention of characters like Wii Fit Trainer and Donkey Kong, for they have like more facial expressions. They went so deep on these details to make sure that they stand out above the previous character models. So. And that's something I applaud, because sometimes it's the details that make the game shine. So, you know, props to Sakurai.
Well, speaking of details, okay, how about this detail? Because this was kind of quietly dropped in there, and I actually don't know how I feel about it. The original, when you boot up Smash Bros. Ultimate, you start with the original roster from 64, and that is it.
Yep.
How do you feel about that?
I like it. Because it's a reference to how it all started, and like said himself, you know, he explained that it's really easy to get all the other characters, so it's gonna feel like after every one or so battle that you're getting more and more characters, and it like that was actually one of the joys of the original like two games or so was unlocking these characters, and so I don't mind that because it's a reference to the series as a whole. And by the time you unlock them all, you're really going to feel accomplished.
Right. I personally like it as well. Just the fact that it's like the good old days of unlocking characters through play and not have to like pay via deals, pay to unlock it. Yeah. It's just like very reminiscent to, again, back to the 64 days when you had to meet these requirements. Like, oh, finish up the story mode, you get Luigi. Finish up the challenge modes, you get Captain Falcon. All these like criterias, like, ah, man, now these are the good old days. This is how you unlock characters.
And he said himself that he's revised some of them, so you won't have to play 24 hours just to get Mewtwo.
Right. That's big. For me, it's a mix of my two Smash personas. The competitive side of me is like, no, give me the whole roster right away so I can
give me death.
Start playing as all these characters. Like, I don't want to have to wait to unlock Rosalina. I don't want to have to wait to unlock Marth, obviously. But then the other side of me says one of Smash 4's biggest problems was that it lacked a sense of progression. Like, the gameplay in Smash 4 was phenomenal, but you had pretty much every character unlocked from the get-go, and after a couple matches, you'd have everybody unlocked just from playing versus, which was fine. I mean, not a big deal. Again, I liked it, especially considering Smash 3DS, you did have to do a little bit more to unlock characters, a little bit. But for this one, I'm glad that there's going to be that progression of, okay, I'm going to go unlock X today. I'm going to go unlock Y today. But the competitive side of me is like, when I boot this game up, I want to be able to sit down with my boys, and I want to say, Marth! And then I want to go and kill them with some tipper forward smashes, some shield breakers, some, you know, all that good stuff. Little jabs, a little dolphin slash. You know, that's what I want to do when I boot up the game. I don't want to boot up the game and be like, okay, I got to grind to unlock all these characters.
All I can hear is Shao Kahn in my head. You will grind. No.
Is that your best?
No. I understand why you say that. And, you know, I won't lie that I'm going to be sad when I can't play Ike right off the bat in his Path of Radiance or Radiant Dawn form. Can I just note, they did not sound different. Okay? He said, can you hear the difference? No! No, I can't, Sakurai! So, anyway. But, you know, like, I can understand why you feel that way, but I really trust Sakurai when he said that it's going to be really easy to unlock them all. So, it may just take you a few extra hours, but you'll get Marth, and then you'll be able to unlock all the other characters. So, I don't mind that because, for those who haven't played the game, and that there's going to be a lot of new players because of the Switch, they're not going to know who to play. And if they have like a 40-person roster to start,
Right.
who are they going to choose? But if you have the first 12, these are the basically the core Nintendo characters, with a few with Ness and
Got up, Ness.
Captain Falcon and all that. But they'll start off with them, and then they'll have the urge to try out these new characters. Oh, I unlocked Marth. Maybe I should try him. Oh, look, there's Ike. He's clearly superior to Marth. Let's go play as him.
Hey. No, I have to double check that too, though, because I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. I could just play as Ness. But it might even just be the original eight, like, starters. Like, it
Maybe.
might have just. I'm not 100% on that.
8 or 12, it doesn't matter,
But
but it's the same thing. But I think it'll be fine because he's trying to help the new players while invoking the nostalgia of the original game. So I don't think it's that bad. So, and again, it'll take a few extra hours. You'll get Marth, and then you'll be the happiest man on the face of Tellius. I mean,
that's
you
right.
know. But moving on, one last thing before we wrap up today. I want to talk about what wasn't at Nintendo's press conference. And we already talked about Yoshi, we already talked about Metroid and Pokemon, but there are a few other things that weren't there. Number one, the Star Fox Grand Prix game that was
Oh,
allegedly supposed to be there, it wasn't there. Ironically, the only thing we saw of Star Fox outside of Smash was in the Starlink game from Ubisoft. Retro Studios, absent again! What the heck are they working on? Are they even still a part of Nintendo? I'm sensing conspiracy theories, okay? Like, what the heck? And then, as one of our other Outer Haven crew pointed out, no F-Zero. A popular trending topic on Twitter was no Animal Crossing.
Right.
One thing I'm not mad about, but it stood out to me was there was no mobile game announcements. There was no a talk about Mario Kart World Tour for the
Or the online
mobile.
service,
Yeah,
yeah.
no, none, nothing on the online service. There was nothing on the 3DS, which again, which is the one that I don't mind, but it was noticeable. And there was a lot of things missing, and that was one of the reasons I gave it a B, was because these things stood out in my mind, and it clearly stood out in everybody else's mind. So, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but Tyler, you mentioned earlier 2019 is shaping up to be a big year for Nintendo, which is fine in context, but I hope it's not like, we're sacrificing 2018 outside of Smash Brothers to make 2019 great. So, I don't know.
I just think that they need time to develop the games. I mean, I
And I
don't think
agree
that
with
their
that.
thought process is, oh, we're going to sack 2018, but I do think that their thought process was, we're going to make Smash the game of 2018. That's our game this year. It's Smash and it's Pokemon. Let's go. And those are our games because those are the only two that we could have up in time. And we're going to blow out these games. And then 2019, we're going to have more of a 2017 style thing. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw like a new 2D Mario down the line in 2019. Anyways, that's ridiculous speculation. I think the most interesting thing there was definitely the complete lack of 3DS and mobile.
Yeah.
There was nothing
I
about
mean,
that.
they did indie games, but they didn't do 3DS or mobile. That really felt. Now, Hollow Knight made sense because like Fortnite it came out today, but then like the Killer Black Queen and that was another game that they showed. It was like, what? Why would you take time? And did we really need like that minute on Pokemon Let's Go when they did the Treehouse demo anyway? So, I don't know. So, but in the end, we all agreed this was a good, showing from Nintendo. It was
Hi.
by it wasn't even close to their worst, but it also wasn't 2017's. So it's the fallout from this, for lack of a better term, is going to be interesting to see because there's we're it's going to be a very interesting rest of 2018 to be sure. So, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler.
Yes, our poll question was, what do you want to see most from the new Smash Bros? And a lot of you got your wishes because the number one answer was actually cool new moves.
Wow, we did get that, didn't we?
So cool new moves won with what was it, 38% of the vote.
Wow, that's close.
I'm trying to find the exact number. Scrolling, I'm still scrolling. There it is.
Really?
New stages, 35%, which is actually kind of disappointing because we did not see a lot of new stages. We saw Moray Towers, and that was it.
No.
And
we got Great Plateau Tower.
Great Plateau Tower. Yeah, you're right.
I think there was one more, and I just can't remember it. I feel like there was three we got.
So there were a couple new stages, but not a ton of new stages.
It's Deep still
Online,
early.
Yes, it is. It is. Deep Online capabilities, 13%, and something else, 13%.
Well, we definitely did get something else because everyone is here.
Right.
So, all right. Well, that was good. So, this week's poll question, which we'll leave open for 5 days. Make it 5 days this time, Tyler.
Yeah, I always make it 5 days.
Oh, there you go. So, grade Nintendo's digital press conference: A, B, C, or F. Plain and simple. And don't write this down, Tyler, but I want you to do as I did, ladies and gentlemen, and grade it on more than just Smash Brothers. Smash Brothers can be a part of your answer, but I want you to look at this as a whole and give us your grade, okay? I'll know if you didn't.
Well, I think, I feel like that you don't even have to specify that. Like, if you're talking Nintendo E3, if all somebody cared about was Smash Bros., they're going to be super happy, and that would reflect their honest opinion.
Well, I know, but it's just like Will was like, "Oh my gosh, they got A+, they won A3," and then he came out. He took a while. He took a breath, and he's like, "Okay, not as good as could have been." So that's all I'm asking. I'm asking him to be objective and to not be blinded by the ultimates of Smash Brothers. That's all I ask.
There's only one thing that actually would make it even much more better in Smash Brothers is like if they included John Denver's Country Home in it.
Stop.
He was like, "Have you been noticing that? Have you been noticed that in the other press conference?"
Stop. Just stop, Will. Stop. So now I need to go watch Kingsman. All right. With that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tweet at us and let us know what you thought of Nintendo's press conference. What did you think of this? Of course, the Smash Brothers reveal. What did you think of Fire Emblem reveal? Super Mario Party? All the third-party game announcements? Have you played Fortnite on Switch yet? What do you think? Tweet at us and let us know. And then we will not be on this upcoming Thursday because it's still E3 week and we know there's not going to be many big announcements. And if we are, we'll write up articles here on the Outer Haven. So we will be back at our regular time next Thursday, which is the 21st. So it'll be the 22nd by the time you're listening. So just be right there. We're going to be a little bit of a break because of E3. But once we come back, hopefully we'll have even more news to talk about, and we'll be going back to our regular topics, so we hope you will join us for that. And we'll be talking about the Octo expansion. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's gonna be good.
Hey,
so,
shout out, Pichu.
Oh, gosh. So, shout out, Daisy, dang it! No. I can't lie, ladies and gentlemen. When I saw Daisy pop up in that Smash Brothers trailer, I was like, oh, crap. Tyler's never let us hear the end of this. So, yeah. And now there's going to be a Daisy amiibo again, so it's just like, oh gosh. All right, so for Daisy Tyler, Tellius Tyler.
Daisy.
Wario Will, I am Triforce Dawn. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level. Ridley is in Smash Brothers. Raise the flag.